this. Mr. Perfect, don't you know that you'll be truly missed?
Don't work too hard.
You almost said.
Wow.
Flying pterodactyls on Sports Outside the Mainstream.
Wow. That was the pterodactyl, everybody. Right there. I'm glad you found that though, because yeah, we were definitely lacking the pterodactyl when we heard you mention it on our email to ksfssports.gmail.com. We thought we would have the pterodactyl that night, but he was not in flight. But right now, he just took flight.
He did. He took flight.
It was pretty bad.
He's in the hizzy.
Now we have a question for Antonio Kruger. Spell pterodactyl.
I know it starts off with PT.
Barnum?
ERD, you know, actyl.
Actyl.
PT pterodactyl.
Well, there you go. So it's time, once again. We all went during the break. Brian went outside, moosed up the hair, got his suit out. And, you know, his Mel Kiper gear. Or do you like Mel Kiper? Are you the anti-Mel Kiper? What are you?
Well, I think that there's so much anti-Mel Kiper that he doesn't get the credit he deserves now.
He does. Yeah. I personally think, let's just get this out of the way, best player available is a cop-out because you're not picking him in order. So you can just say, this guy's the best player available. He doesn't do as many mock drafts as, say, a Todd McShay does or somebody like that or a Yahoo Sports guy will do. But I do like him. I think, you know, I can't help but listen to him every time he's on the radio or anytime he's on TV. I just stop what I'm doing and watch Mel.
And he's got the hair. And
that could withstand, you know, a hurricane.
And again, like if people don't like you, they still watch.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just to watch
polarizing.
You be wrong.
Although McShay I don't like. I think McShay is terrible.
A McDouche.
Mayock is good.
Matt Mayock.
Yeah.
He actually predicted, I believe it was Aaron Rodgers going 24th.
Did he?
Yes. He was on that from day one. He said if he's not taking day number one, he's going to go there. And, of course, you guys were the beneficiary of that with young, small-handed Alex Smith. So,
have you shaken his hand?
No, I have not.
Has he slapped you? How do you know if he has small hands?
Because he can't grip a football.
I think he gripped it just fine last year.
Yeah, where'd that small hands thing come from? I've got the numbers. His hands are...
It was his lady's. His lady friend said he had small hands.
Not even
do we have any cricket sound effects here? We'll also clean that up in post, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, it's almost draft day.
It's almost draft day. So how do you guys want to start this? We just want to go right into the mock draft and go with our first pick. Roger Goodell has stepped to the podium, and he said the Raiders with their first pick. They have selected.
And let's just say, with the Raiders having the number one pick, it makes this weekend even more about the Bay Area because the two teams are both in the top 11. But the Raiders, what they do is going to literally shake down what everyone else does. So,
and we have some email questions about the Raiders and Niners, too, so we're going to have to get to all of that. But we got an hour. We can get it all in, right?
Well, okay.
Always make it fit.
So the Raiders.
The first pick is going to be
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
You have a chance. You're number one in the draft for a reason. You have a chance to take the best player that's by far the best player, that's scary good, and you're just going to say, no, I'm gonna take quarterback. After all these years of not taking quarterbacks, now's the time when you've got a guy who's so much better and you have the number one pick and you don't take the best player in the draft. You got to take Calvin Johnson.
You've heard it on this show before. Al Davis sees number 21. He sees Cliff Branch. He's taking the wide receiver. He'll work out the quarterback issue later in his mind.
And I thought that someone would be signed by the time we went on the air today. And so I think that also lets you know that they're still listening to.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions. Last year we had kind of an 11th hour decision where they just signed Mario Williams. Came out of nowhere for me. I don't know about you guys, but when they were all about Reggie Bush, it just came out of nowhere. That was one of my questions was going to be, do you anticipate a signing here?
I did. I think now it's getting a little too late. We might hear something in the morning, but if you've gotten to this point and they haven't signed anybody, I think they're going to sit on the clock for a while for all 15 minutes and maybe see.
That's what I hate.
And they want, I mean, and why not? Because if you're at number one, you don't want all this Detroit trade talk happening. It's like, I want you to come through us. That's what you should be doing. So I think they're playing it right.
You're too kind. The Raiders always take the entire 15 minutes because Al Davis wants everyone to sit there talking about the greatness of the Raiders.
Right.
That's all for him.
It's a free commercial.
It's all marketing. So they're not going to have anyone signed for that reason, and because I think the Raiders are just difficult for anybody to work with. But they know who they want to take, and unless someone calls them between now and whatever 8 a.m., 9 a.m. tomorrow morning Pacific time, and offers them an entire roster, they know what they're going to do.
The only thing I was looking at was question marks on Calvin Johnson. Obviously, he's maybe one of the best prospects ever in a draft. But the route running, is that a question at all, or is that just a bad quarterback at Georgia Tech?
Well,
there certainly was a bad quarterback at Georgia Tech. That's some of the ugliest quarterback I've ever seen. Every highlight reel you see of Calvin Johnson, he's adjusting, coming back for balls. He has to fight for it. I mean, I think I've seen one highlight of him where he just gets a clean pass.
Catches it in stride and does something.
Catches it in stride, takes it to the house, and it's not even close. It's not even funny. But, yeah, I mean, for a 6'5 guy, that's always going to be your weakness is the short area quickness. You know, can he outquick these 5'8, you know, 4'3 speed DBs and get open? But you know what? It doesn't really matter because if you're going up against 5'8 DB, he's never not open.
6'5, 235 right. against that kind of DB with that kind of speed, there's going to be no question every time in there.
And he'll get better. That's something he'll work on, you know, about running. But you've seen Larry Fitzgerald, and he's a great round runner at 6'2, a big guy. He'll fit right in.
Right.
He'll never be the best route runner in the world, but he doesn't have to be. He's so good everywhere else, and he'll get open.
So having said that, we have a bunch of wide receivers now on the Raiders. We have Moss, Jerry Porter, Ronald Curry, and now Calvin Johnson, and yet maybe no quarterback.
So my question to you, Raider fan.
Okay.
Mr. Drunken, you know, beating up on kids in the parking lot.
All right, I'll take that.
Who do you want them to draft?
Well, that's a good question. Everybody's saying Jamarcus Russell. Every website, everywhere is saying Jamarcus Russell.
Are you going to put your Raider hat on today?
I'm not going to put my Raider hat on today.
Do you own a Raider hat?
I do own a Raider hat. I have not worn it for quite some time.
He owns 32 hats, in fact.
I will. Thank you. Very good.
If you're going to be a fan.
I will wear it.
Wear your colors when
you're
losing.
I'll wear it if they draft Brady Quinn, because that's who I want.
Okay. Anybody can wear colors when you're champion. Wear your stuff.
Well, everybody can be pessimistic, too. I haven't seen a Spurs, you know, anything from you.
Because we're winners.
He's not a front runner.
He's not a front runner?
I tend to wear my Spurs stuff after we lose a series, because that's when it's hardest.
I would never wear a Raider hat around this place anyway, because it's just bad connotation when you say Raider fan. But we're getting off topic here. I want
Brady Quinn.
I want Brady Quinn. We discussed this earlier. Quarterbacks played from the neck up, and that's what we like. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so the quarterback they may be bringing in, maybe Culpepper, maybe they build the line, maybe they get Walter back in there. People like Walter. I mean, he's still pretty good. He's got a lot of, you know, good victories. Well, not on for Arizona State, but not for the Raiders, but I don't know what they're going to do in terms of that if they don't take a quarterback. Everybody's saying Russell, so
Russell just doesn't make a lot of sense with the scheme either. They just hired
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, but the offensive coordinator from the 49ers, then the Falcons.
Oh, the
what are we talking about here?
Yeah, the guy who did not mesh well with Terrell Owens.
Yeah, the classic scene on the sideline.
Greg Knapp.
Greg Knapp. There you go. Okay. Greg Knapp runs that West Coast offense, and it's all dink and dunk stuff, and that just doesn't fit the mold of what Jamarcus Russell is, you know, quick pass. You want him to hang back for 6-7 seconds and just chuck it as far as he can.
But you know Al Davis saw him throw 80 yards from his knees and probably sneezed all over himself. I mean, he was just like, I've got to have that on my roster, but I still don't think it will happen.
So having said that, we now have an interesting situation with Detroit. They cannot take their wide receiver for the 19th year in a row.
And for once it would make sense.
This is actually a question I had because I anticipated Calvin Johnson, you guys taking him first. How far can Jamarcus Russell slip? Because I don't think you have him going to the Lions.
In my no-trade mock draft here, I've got Calvin 1, and then I got Brady Quinn 2 because he's a system guy. And if Mike Martz is going to draft a guy, it's going to be a system guy. And I don't think Russell really fits that mold. But then Russell, I have him going 3. He doesn't fall any farther than that.
Now, see, you haven't been here in a few weeks, and yet we're on the same wavelength. I have Quinn also going to the Lions.
Yeah, I just think there's one of those things where you put out feelers. The Raiders have put out allegedly feelers on three people, Johnson, Russell, and Quinn. And whoever gets them the best deal back, they're going to go for. Obviously, they're going to put talent into the equation. But money-wise, they're going to see who they can get the best deal with. They're going to try to lowball Brady Quinn, see if they can get him into camp with that kind of contract. And if they do, I will be ecstatic. But you have him going to the Lions. That seems to be a better offense for Brady Quinn rather than Jamarcus Russell, the chuck and just throw it as far as you can. So, yeah, what do you guys think of Jamarcus Russell? What do you think of Brady Quinn at 2 to the Lions?
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. And like I said, he can be a system quarterback, and he showed that he can work in a pro system already.
Yep.
And I think it's just more in line with what Martz would want in a quarterback. And they need a face to the franchise. And Jamarcus Russell has a lot of hype right now, but he's just not quite the, you know.
A lot of hype, maybe not.
He's a soft-spoken guy. Yeah. He's not the meaty darling that Brady Quinn could be if he turns out to be like you think he might.
He's a golden domer. Mm-hmm. And it shows you that fans are more willing to admit a quarterback mistake and take another than any other position. Lions fans right now are remembering being burned by bad wide receiver picks. Yet what set the franchise back was Joey Harrington's inability to develop. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be a champion, it's a lot quicker to get there with coaching and a quarterback than with any other position being strong at. So they got to go Brady Quinn.
Detroit's in a tough situation, too, because I could see them actually even going Joe Thomas here. And Joe Thomas, on my board, is the second best player in the draft.
On your board that you have in your house, my that all your roommates that, are upset about, that the actually, board is blocking the way.
I don't know if you guys read The Onion. I got to get this in, but in The Onion, they have a sports section. And it said, the headline was, NFL draft canceled. Mel Kiper accidentally knocks over a big board.
There you go. That's the headline there. One question I had as I make my Notre Dame joke: what is Notre Dame and weed have in common? They're both green and they both get smoked in bowls. So Brady Quinn, like, has he won big games ever?
You're putting it on a tee for me, because Brady Quinn, actually, I think this is where I think people are looking at this the wrong way. Brady Quinn had lesser talent on his team than any other teams he played in these bowl games.
Less offensive
and
talent?
He was able to – just team talent.
Team talent, yes, I would agree.
Notre Dame was not as good as LSU, not even close. Not as good offensively even as LSU.
Yeah, you're definitely right on that.
I mean, he should get more credit, and also Charlie Weiss deserves a lot of this credit, for getting Notre Dame to this position where they were overachieving and playing teams that were so much better that they couldn't beat, I think more so than him – taking the fall for being not a big game quarterback and not being able to win.
Also important to remember Owen's favorite quarterback, Peyton Manning. his time at University of Tennessee, never won a national championship, was the reason why, or one of the main reasons why, Steve Spurrier during his time at Florida would always make the joke, you can't spell citrus without UT. So yet the man is the most coveted quarterback by most people in the NFL. They have him ahead of Tom Brady because of statistics, and he just this year won his first Super Bowl. But, you know, I would take Brady over Peyton, but it doesn't change the fact that any franchise other than New England would happily take Peyton Manning and let the chips fall where they may. I think people look at Brady Quinn the same way, sort of the golden boy, you know, got the coaching in college, can play in a pro-style system, will adapt much quicker, and you can certainly make a debate, does race play a part in it, with Jamarcus Russell being from an SEC school that is not known for producing quarterbacks. He's a very large, strong man. He's a black quarterback. We tend to find more reasons why we don't think they're going to work out, when history has shown that quarterbacks of both races can both make it or completely be a bust.
They usually don't make it, I think. So what ends up happening is most of the quarterbacks tend to bust. And that's another thing that, and I think it's the biggest factor that you have to factor in if you're taking a quarterback and you want this guy to be your franchise, is how hard does he work? Is he going to be there every day? Is he just live and breathe football? And it's hard to tell, because I don't know if Jamarcus Russell, if it's – I mean, he hasn't played – his offense wasn't as complex in college and all that. That's not saying he can't play in the most complex offense in the NFL. But his demeanor, and he continues to kind of gain weight, and he seems like a guy that's not like – you know, he plays with his talents and he doesn't play with his soul, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's the only that's where you have to wonder, and that's why he's got the biggest bust factor in the draft for me, is just because you look at history, and every time that arm strength was the big factor of why a quarterback gets drafted, they almost always fail.
True.
John Elway is the only one that can come.
I was about to say, John Elway is probably the only prospect quarterback that was almost a lock sure thing.
But he was also known for his mobility.
He was pretty much off the charts.
Well, everything, arm strength, everything.
Right, yeah.
I mean, but one thing I was looking at with Russell is, you were talking about being a media darling like Brady Quinn was, being able to handle the media, being able to handle everything. I've seen Brady Quinn on every show, obviously trying to up his stock for everything. But Jamarcus Russell not doing a lot of interviews. Maybe he's just securing his number one spot. But the thing I was wondering is, Brady Quinn's been on the spotlight. He's on to games every week. Everybody wants a piece of Brady Quinn, the Charlie Weiss system, Heisman candidate. Jamarcus Russell kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. Of course, you can't see like a 6'6", 260-pound guy coming, but he kind of came out of nowhere for all intents and purposes. I wonder what this, all of a sudden, this financial windfall, all the success from that being drafted so early, what's that going to do to him? I don't envision a Pac-Man situation or a Vince Young, you know, situation where they lose focus at some point, and maybe they still do well on the field, but I think Brady Quinn is in a more apt position to deal with all this media circus and this money.
Well, Jamarcus has certainly played in just as big of stadiums and bowls down in the SEC, and more you could equal, if not in some cases, more intense environments than Brady Quinn did, which we all know Notre Dame plays in such situations. But I don't understand that why you're campaigning. You're not running for class president. You're not running for president of the U.S. Does it matter if you're 1, 2, or 5, or 10? I mean, financially?
Financially, it's a huge difference. Mm-hmm.
But if you're as great as you think you are, in the long run, you're going to get paid. Because if you're that good, you're going to win games, you're going to be in the playoffs, you're going to win Super Bowls, you're going to get endorsements and commercials and get the biggest signing bonus that your team has ever given out. It's better to be in a situation where you're wanted and you fit well, rather than making sure you're number one or number two versus number four.
I would say you want to get your money, and you want to get your money quick, because there is no guarantee in the NFL. The guaranteed money is that salary bonus, that initial salary bonus that you're going to get. And I think you want to get that number one pick to get that kind of money, because it's a huge difference between, I think it's Reggie Bush and Jabrickashaw. It's about a $4 million difference a year between what they're getting paid. And I think you want to get in, get your money, and get out
so
quick.
So you want to draft a guy who's focused more on the dollars than on his ability.
I want to draft best player available, but if I'm talking about a player campaigning, I want to get out there and get my face out there as much as possible and prove I'm not going to be a Cincinnati Bengal kind of guy, a Pac-Man kind of guy, and I want to get out there and do it that way.
I don't want to talk about the quarterbacks too much, but I will say that this whole campaigning thing kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it necessarily, but it also it's not a bad thing, because it shows that he's with the game plan, you know. He made a game plan with his agent, and he's taking that game plan, you know, just like he's gonna have to do on Sundays. He's really driven for whatever his goal is, and I think that's what's gonna make somebody achieve. And maybe it's just the kind of aw shucks thing with Jamarcus Russell. Maybe he's got that drive, but he doesn't show it as much. That's the thing that worries me about it, because most of these guys, I mean, all these guys are talking about their first round NFL talents, and they have so much ability that they can all be pretty much as good as they want to be.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to, who wants to be that good.
So a quick recap here, and this is Brian's mock draft, and I have no reason not to believe it. I think he's dead on a lot of these things. Raiders, Calvin Johnson, Lions, Brady Quinn. The Browns will take Jamarcus Russell, and with the fourth pick, the Buccaneers will select
Joe Thomas, offensive tackle from Wisconsin, and he's actually my number two prospect in the whole draft after Calvin Johnson. And he's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle just because of the big name quarterbacks, and Calvin's such a great prospect. I could see him going number two easily.
Where is he watching the draft from?
A fishing boat, I believe.
Yeah, in Lake Michigan. Any chance he slips to Lake Minnetonka a little bit? I have to make that lake joke, but yeah, is there any chance he slips? Because I'm hearing some people say he might slip, and some people say he might go up. I just haven't seen him here. I've seen him really early or a little later. I haven't seen him here yet.
I think he's just not as sexy as the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and stuff, because he's an offensive lineman.
Because he's 100 pounds heavier?
Yeah, exactly. Not as
yeah.
He's pretty shapely for a 300-pounder.
6'8", 315, and yeah. You saw him run the 40, and he looks, you know, there's nothing really – he looks athletic.
The thing I like is you see him –
he's a country boy.
Yeah, you see him on film, and he blows his defensive end off the line. Then he gets out on the next level, walls off a linebacker, and then just plants a DB – you know, 3 feet into the ground. So
in
one
words,
play. So he's athletic, he's strong, he has everything you need, and I don't see any Robert Gallery in him.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Don't tease him, because he can chase you down too.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing is, if you're the Buccaneers sitting at four, and my mock has no trades in it, but we definitely have to kind of look at the trade options. Buccaneers trading up for Calvin Johnson. If they really love Calvin Johnson, you know, it takes, what, a second-round pick to move up, and they have an extra second-round pick, I think. And they can move up the Lions, and if he's your guy, and if Russell goes one and Calvin Johnson's there, then it makes a lot of sense to do that. But at the same time, they're in a great spot at number four, because I think those are the four elite prospects. Well, Adrian Peterson, I think, is five. He's kind of 4A, but he's just got the injury problems, and he's a running back. But if you're the Buccaneers, you just sit at four and wait for one of these elite prospects to fall to you, and just don't worry about it.
Kind of a blanket question for offensive tackles. Whether it be maybe if he gets drafted by the Cardinals, say, at the next pick after that, or if Sims is healthy, a left-handed quarterback, can he flip sides easily and guard the blind side? I saw Gallery do that. That wasn't very successful. Do you have any problems with the tackles doing it?
I think they flipped Gallery just because he was terrible on the left side, so they just didn't want their quarterback.
Yeah, Gallery may be a bad example.
But, yes, that's the question, is how much do they value the left tackle? Because the reason the left tackle is the position, because it's the quarterback's blind side. So do they flip him and have him play a whole new side?
Because there are two guys, Sims and Liner.
Right.
Who are left-handed quarterbacks.
Yeah, so that's a great point. And I don't know. I can't even answer that.
That was a question because the athletic ability is there to make the switch, but why take a guy out of their best spot?
Yeah, you move his position. It's almost like if that's the case, then maybe you just kind of want to trade back a little bit and get a different guy and not put so much stock into that. Because that's the reason you're a left tackle. So, I mean, I'm sure he can make the flip no problem.
Yeah.
If that's something they'd want to do.
A guy they may be protecting him from will be the Cardinals' fifth pick, and that would be?
That's Gaines Adams. Another overrated prospect. This isn't my list of guys that I think are deserving of these spots. It's kind of how I think it will go. Gaines Adams is really one-dimensional, and I don't like that about him. I kind of like the idea of him playing for the Cardinals because he's a third down kind of player, pass rusher. And if the Cardinals draft him and put him on the end, then when the 49ers play him, we don't have to worry about third down because on first and second down, we're going to have Frank Gore converting right off his off tackle,
I like the way you think.
So it's a double bonus pick there.
It seems to be.
Because I think he's going to be sort of a bust. I mean, I don't think he's a terrible player, and he's certainly a first round
talent. Say he's got the best first step. Yeah. He kind of takes plays off, doesn't play that well against the run.
And he's not so athletic that he's like when he's outside linebacker types either. So he's very good, but he's not so good that he can be so one dimensional and a little bit of an overdraft, I think, on him. But you got to draft the pass rushers too. So
One of the most important, as Ant brings up constantly, you need those guys off the end, the most important players out there. But he is the second one of our weed guys, is he not? Calvin Johnson, Gaines Adams, and who was the other guy? Amobi Okoye.
Okoye, yeah. He's the third in the trio of admitted weed guys.
Admitted.
Undoubtedly,
yeah.
I think we have at least 31 out of 32 weed guys probably on this list.
I'd say make it a full 32. I mean, I don't really see anybody on my list that maybe did not take it.
How insulting. You say that none of these young men could stay away from
the herb.
Come
on, you're a Cal guy. You know Marshawn Lynch never smoked.
I was about to say, just literally, Marshawn Lynch is probably smoking right now. If he was in this room, it'd be hard to see if Marshawn Lynch was in here.
Medical marijuana card.
That's correct.
Being in the Bay Area, I'm sure.
Before we go to break, let's get the sixth pick. The Bills are going to select.
I like the Bills trading up here. This is the one trade I did include on this.
The asterisk.
The little asterisk there that marks the Bills trading up for Adrian Peterson. He's best player available in this spot. And I think they're the most likely team that where they're sitting at pick 12, they want to get up because all their guys, Peterson, Patrick Willis, all these guys are going to be gone by the time pick 12 comes up, and so they're the no-brainer trade-up pick. They've got some extra picks that they acquired through some trades and other things. And then you've got pick 6 is the perfect fit because Adrian Peterson's sitting there, and the Redskins are sitting there at number 6 with no second-rounder, no third-rounder. They need some extra picks, and they can pretty much get exactly the same value for the player they're going to pick at pick 12 as they would at pick 6. So I think it's a perfect match there.
I would agree with that. I think they definitely have a void in their running back, so they definitely need to get that. Bills have a lot of needs. Bills are just one of those bad teams that's going to need to do something on draft day, maybe make some trades and get some more picks.
They're needy.
They're like me.
I hope you don't say that as an intro on a first date.
It's getting cathartic in here. No, I do. You gotta get the bait out there first. Then you can release all your emotional problems second date. Wow. It's just got a little personal here. So we're going to go quickly through picks 7 till we hit the Niners, and then we'll go deep in depth on the Niners. So when we come back on Sports Outside the Mainstream, we got the Vikings are on the clock, so they have about a minute for their break to make their pick up there. So we'll come back, and we'll hear the pick from them, and we'll also hear about Niners, Patriots, maybe a little bit more Raiders, and also our sleepers, or maybe our people that are in a chemically induced coma or something like that.
I'll go wake them up.
They're going to wake them up.
And last chance to send in an email, ksfssports@gmail.com, if you want us to answer a question.
Yeah. Subject title, Ask Peacock About the Draft. And then we'll definitely get that on KSFS, the state, San Francisco. Bless your soul.
Heart attack. Make it again.
KSFS San Francisco. Will you hear the latest, the greatest, and everything in between? Only on KSFS.
Looking for work in the nonprofit sector? JVS can help. The BEST program provides free training to low-income San Francisco residents in the skills needed to find jobs in the nonprofit and social services sector. Job placement, retention, and advancement services are provided during the program and for 12 months after completion. The next training starts March 20th. For more information and to sign up for an orientation, please call Emmeline Espia at 415-782-6269 or visit www.jvs.org today.
KSFS.SFSU.edu, the place you get the best jocks, the best rocks, and the best talks in the Bay Area. Streaming 24/7. Request call 415-338-1532. Only at KSFS San Francisco.
You want the pterodactyl rejoin?
Do we want the
No, let's save that. Once the show.
Well, once the show, we'll bring out the pterodactyl. And we are back here on Sports Outside the Mainstream. Eamon Sweeney, Antonio Kruger, Brian Peacock. No Owen Brown, and I can call him Owen Brown because he's not here. So
OBG.
OBG. Why? Why isn't he here?
You almost went somewhere with that.
No, I didn't. I didn't do nothing. Come on. I didn't do anything of that nature.
And he's a no-show. He hasn't called or
Yeah, I know. What's up with that? I know they don't have Wi-Fi in Santa Barbara.
Some people just don't care.
That's right. And we're here, and we're waiting on the Minnesota Vikings, the aforementioned Lake Minnetonka, where the party float was out there on the All and Alma's fleet.
So you're focused on that, man. When you say Lake Minnetonka, what should come to mind?
Sex boat.
Purple Rain.
Purple Prince.
Rain. Come on. Rain. Have you never seen the movie?
What movie?
All right. Some people just don't appreciate talent.
Pick number 7, Minnesota Vikings.
They select
safety Laron Landry out of LSU. The second Laron LSU Landry player off
he
the board
doesn't even have to change jersey colors, man. No. Purple and gold.
He looks good in purple.
Hey now.
Well, yeah. He solidified his
number
his
one
stock,
DB.
Basically, yeah, with blistering times and great workouts. And you already knew he was good, and he kind of solidified that at the combine.
And a great college defense.
To me, along with Calvin Johnson and to me, Adrian Peterson kind of going there. Laron Landry, safe picks, and also just talent-wise, right up there. Mm-hmm. You know, great, great picks. So he's one of my top three as well. We quickly go to the Falcons, and the Falcons with new coach Bobby Petrino at the helm.
Petrino?
They're going to select.
Yes, he sticks with his Louisville product in defensive tackle Amobi Okoye.
And
the final weed victim. If I can say, if for some reason Adrian Peterson is still on the board here, if the Bills, for example, don't trade up, I think Atlanta may go with him. Warwick Dunn cannot play forever, and we know that Michael Vick has yet to prove that he can carry a team. I could see them going for a 25 carry back, a guy who's bigger than Dunn, on that, artificial surface down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Get their change of pace back as well.
I could see that. I would have no problems with that. And it's kind of like with the Calvin Johnson pick. You're saying, well, they got Randy Moss and Joey Porter. It's like, well, you're not drafting any of these guys for 2007, you know.
Yeah.
What's going to be going on in 2010? Moss and Porter will probably both be gone.
They probably will be character
so
issues.
You can't be chasing your own tail like that and drafting for need right now because these guys aren't going to be ready right now anyways.
So the Falcons have their version of the Nigerian nightmare in Amobi Okoye.
No relation, though.
No, of course not. The next pick, we go down to Miami Beach, and we go to the Dolphins, and they're going to select
Levi Brown, offensive tackle from Penn State. This is another guy I'm not super high on, but everyone seems to love him.
Amobi was.
Everyone needs that left tackle, so he makes it into the top 10.
And Miami needs a line.
Along with Gaines Adams, he's a little overrated. I just don't see it from him. I don't see that special ability, especially to be taking a lineman in the top 10.
He kind of
seems to love him.
He seems kind of more the guy that will mangle you and get in the run block. Maybe not as proficient in pass blocking, but yeah.
He kind of seems – he's got the Quame Harris syndrome where he's got everything you need. Yeah, see, I mean, he may not go
Robert
to that
Gallery.
Level, but you see that a lot with kind of the leftovers at offensive tackle in the draft kind of tend to be the guys that bust because they're just not – they don't have everything you need. They're not nasty enough or they're just not quite athletic enough and – and I see him as being as one of those because sometimes he looks great and sometimes he just gets beat. And you're like, why are you getting beat, man?
Quame Harris is better than Robert Gallery.
Oh, now, there is no way that is even possible. They are both awful.
At least Harris can run block. He can run block.
Oh, run block. Come on.
I don't think Gallery can well, do much of anything except hold.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think they're both equally bad, and we've now spent way too much time on Quame Harris and Robert Gallery. So we move on to the Texans. And I actually love this pick, and I did it in Madden. I drafted him. I imported the CD from NCAA 07 nice. And drafted this guy thinking exactly probably what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And the Texans have selected.
The Texans select Leon Hall, a cornerback out of Michigan. I really like Leon Hall. He maybe had 2-3 bad plays all season. The guy, he's really good, really talented. He proved he had the speed at the combine. It's one thing you question because he got beat deep by Dwayne Jarrett and Ted Ginn, and those were the two bad plays he really had all season, but they were magnified because they were in such huge games, and everyone's watching. Every other snap, I mean, just dynamite. He locks players down. He breaks up passes. He intercepts the ball. He's got hands. Great in run support. Kind of coach's son type, you know. He's a leader on defense. I think he's a guy that might go a little higher than people would expect just because if you sit there and watch every snap he's taken, you're going to forget about those three bad snaps because he's so good every play.
Yeah, you'd love him to pair him with Dante Robinson and just have two shutdown corners on either side.
And play in the division with Peyton Manning.
With Manning and Vince Young.
Mm-hmm. We also mentioned the Bills last time. Houston has a lot of needs as well as offensive tackle, and they need somebody for Andre Johnson. If they don't take Leon Hall, I do see them making a trade and getting some more picks.
Yeah, trade down is definitely
It's an option for a lot of these teams, it mm-hmm. seems. Yeah.
And also, we didn't mention with the Dolphins, they're definitely, if the QB thing doesn't happen, they're one of these trade-up
definitely.
Potential teams. Maybe for Quinn,
they
or
once
whichever
again,
one of the quarterback kind of starts to fall, maybe with the Buccaneers, or if it gets down as far as the Cardinals.
So this is the moment everybody's been waiting for in mm-hmm. the Bay Area, Brian, and
49ers.
Probably Ant's analysis on the number 11th pick. The 49ers are going to definitely select, without
this
a shadow
is
a of
no
a doubt,
no-brainer pick. The 49ers select linebacker Patrick Willis out of Ole Miss. And I have no doubt that this is their selection at this spot. I have no doubt that they love this guy. And so that's what makes me confident in this position because they coached him at the Senior Bowl. You see clips of Mike Singletary working out the linebackers, and he's got these guys doing the heat 'em up drill where they're running the feet, and there's guys dying, and he's on these guys in the back row that are falling over, and they can't run anymore. And then you look at Patrick Willis, who's just sitting there right front and center in the front row, and he's just got his head down and his head up and his butt down, and he's just pumping away.
Wide eyes.
He's not stopping. Yeah, and it's like – and Singletary's just like, yes, this is my guy. And Nolan knows what he's going to get out of this guy. High character, high, you know, great work ethic. And not only that, he's still got a great deal of upside. He's big and strong and so fast. He ran a faster time than Ted Ginn did at his pro day workout.
He was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I agree with you. I think that this is a natural fit. The Niners have not been mentioned with any trade possibilities, and I would imagine that they at least – or would investigate such a thing if they wanted to. If for some reason the Niners trade up or down, I think that means that they're looking for an offensive player. If they go up, I think they've identified a chance to pick a Calvin Johnson who's slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're trading down, I think what they're saying is we feel we can get one of three or four people, which I think would be an offensive player, and then use the extra picks to just, you know, immerse ourselves in defensive picks. But in this position, I think their number one choice would be Patrick Willis. I think that Jamal Anderson would be next if Willis isn't there because excellent pass-rushing defensive end who has the potential to be converted to an outside backer in a 3-4. If both of those guys for some reason are gone, I think that makes them want to trade down more. Otherwise, you end up going Alan Branch, the defensive tackle from Michigan, or at that point, I guess – they could go offensive tackle if one of the linemen is dropped because, again, Quame Harris, not only because of Quame Harris being Quame Harris, but Jonas Jennings is not going to be around forever. He's had a hard time staying healthy. But I do believe if they stay where they are, they do mean it when they say this draft is all about rebuilding the defense.
Mm-hmm. And Adam Carriker is another guy I could see going in that spot. And I don't think he gets enough credit for how almost he's not – I wouldn't say he's freakish, but he's almost there. I mean, he's 6'6", 290, muscles on top of muscles, and he's quick.
Yep.
He's quick and strong. And
seen him in
and
Nebraska, and he could probably do a lot of things in the NFL.
Yeah, fits the scheme to a T,
defensive end
for a 3-4 defense.
So let's stick on the Niners here so we don't get sidetracked into other divisions. Round number two.
Let's look at a couple trade options. Rumor has it that the Broncos are exploring trading up with the Texans at pick 10 to maybe sneak in and get Patrick Willis right in front of us.
Okay.
Which would give the 49ers a chance to maybe move up with the Dolphins at pick 9 and kind of thwart that attempt, and that's something that rumor has it has been discussed. So I think if Patrick Willis is your guy, it's worth the fourth rounder or whatever it would take to secure your guy. And if you're talking about Calvin Johnson, I broke this down. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the chart. There's a chart that GMs kind of go by, or supposedly they go by. And
the point system, right?
The point system. It always seems to pretty much work out. Let's see if I've got the numbers here. Basically, it would take the first, second, third, probably a fourth rounder, and then maybe a second rounder next year is about where it would end up if the 49ers wanted to get all the way up to number two.
You think that's a possibility, though?
I don't think it's the hugest possibility, but I think it's more likely than you might think, just because Mike Nolan has gone on record to say he's, you know, they hit free agency hard because they wanted to fill their holes, and they want to get the best players they can in the draft, and they want to draft their stars, and they don't want to draft for need just to get a mediocre player. They want to draft a guy because they know they're getting a star, and they want to draft their stars. And they're not afraid. They have the ammo, and they're not afraid to go make sure they do what they want. But I think the more likely trade would be to move up from their second-round pick into the first round.
Okay. And where do you have going second round? We have needs at defensive end, wide receiver, linebacker a little bit, offensive line a little bit, and cornerback a little bit. So where do you guys see them going second round?
Second round, no trades. I like Eric Weddle, free safety out of Utah. They did sign Michael Lewis, who's more of a strong safety, and all their other safeties on the roster are more strong safeties than they are free safeties.
Now,
like
did he move a little bit? Was he ever a strong safety or a cornerback at one point?
He played a little bit of everything. He played running back. He played kick returner. He was a quarterback on
Jeremy Bloom.
Yeah, he did a little bit of everything. And he doesn't get credit for how athletic he is. He's kind of a team leader. He scored 8 touchdowns. He kind of ran the options. He was just, when you watch the Utah games, he's the best player on the field.
Yeah,
and
like an Eric Crouch type.
He can play a little bit everywhere. And I think in the NFL, he fits perfectly at free safety. And with the way that Nolan wants to run things, it seems obvious that he puts a lot of pressure on his linebackers that we have seen. And if I can paint you a picture of third downs in San Francisco, last year, even if we got a pass rush off, even if we're covering guys, they still dumped it off to running backs. And what did we see? We saw Brian Westbrook. We saw Steven Jackson, Reggie Bush just run all over our linebackers. And that's the kind of thing that Patrick Willis would put it into. He's a stalker. You drop the ball off the running back, he's going to go get you.
Yeah, last year you could definitely see Jeff Ulbrich just didn't have the speed to come up and make tackles before people already had 7-8 yards of momentum going.
Yeah, Smith and Ulbrich both just missing all kinds of tackles. Because he puts a lot of pressure on the middle linebackers in that scheme. And people talk about the middle linebacker being just a glorified lineman that's just going to be taking up blocks in the 3-4. That's a little oversimplifying things, because if that's the case, they'd have a lineman in there. If that's what they wanted, they got to do. You got to go make tackles, and they still need a football player there. That's got range, that can do a little bit of everything. So then you got Eric Weddle backing that up. He probably come in and do a little nickel. Actually, the Niners don't run a nickel. They go from their base to a dime defense where they take out two linebackers and they bring in two DBs. So he'd be that guy that can kind of blitz. He can cover. He can range deep. He can do a little bit of everything. Shore up that nickel defense, which leads me to the third round.
Yeah, you guys have no shortage of picks. 8 picks before the fourth round. I mean, before the fifth round.
So then, staying on that theme of third
downs.
And
if you can say this name.
This is Ikeka Alama-Francis, defensive end from Hawaii. And he's kind of a guy that would be the perfect fit at defensive end on third downs. He'd kind of come in and rush the first season. And he's 6'5", 280. Let him learn the role, let him gain 10 pounds, and then become a starter in his second season. But the first season, he'd be a guy that could put pressure on the quarterbacks, come in fresh, charge hard on third downs, and really boost that defense, which is really what was hurting the 49ers all season, is converting on third downs on offense and getting off the field third downs on defense.
I see broadcasters just referring to him as like IAF coming after you.
Yeah,
there you go.
Actually, his father was Bart Starr's backup quarterback, I believe. In Green Bay.
Wow.
Dropping knowledge.
Yeah, here it is. I'll drop some knowledge for once, since I know something about the next pick in their third round, Manny Ramirez, as they're calling him now, the offensive guard from Texas Tech. I believe him and Justin Blaylock had 40 reps of 225 or around that.
I think they're
two strongest linemen.
Yeah, 40 or 42 linemen. Reps, the strongest guys in the draft. He's basically your poor man's Larry Allen. You know that's the kind of lineman that...
It'd be nice to be under his tutelage for him.
Yeah, and you want a guy that... The 49ers are a power running team, and they want the big uglies, you know. And this guy just fits. And we've got Justin Smiley, Kwame Harris, Larry Allen, and I think somebody else all in the last year of their deals. So don't overlook drafting linemen in this draft, because the 49ers need to make sure they're – and also that brings up the Smiley point that he might be trade bait.
That's true.
You have him and Quaim Harris and Jeff Ulbrich down here as trade bait.
Yeah, if the 49ers draft Patrick Willis, I think Jeff Ulbrich's the guy to go because he's kind of getting paid as a starter. He'd be then fourth middle linebacker if you count Brandon Moore, Derek Smith, and Willis all in front of him. So monetarily, and he would be more valuable to another team. I could see him being trade bait too.
Yeah, I agree. And with Harris, it's not just trade bait. It's the fact that Snyder is likely to start over him this year. So barring injury, he's not likely to get playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, obviously, that Jonas Jennings has trouble staying healthy for all 16 games, but we do not want Harris playing left tackle under any circumstances. Larry Allen obviously has the age factor. Smiley, as you said, the size factor. Nolan has made it very clear what kind of team he wants, both in terms of talent, in terms of size and speed, in terms of character. And I think that gets reflected more than anywhere on his defensive and offensive lines and in the attitude of his linebackers.
Yeah. As we look at quickly through your fourth-round picks, you finally addressed the need at wide receiver here.
Wide receiver. Yeah, well, I kind of waited on wide receiver here. I didn't like in the second round, you know, you might have some guys fall, but I think you can wait and get some real value there rather than just taking the leftovers at wide receiver in the second round. But wide receiver is that position where if you're the 49ers and you're going to trade up from the second round into the first round, then wide receiver, I think, is the position you're looking at. A guy like Dwayne Bowe is another guy that I know, I'm positive that the 49ers like.
Out of LSU.
Yeah, out of LSU. Senior Bowl guy. Reminds me a little bit of Anquan Boldin of the Cardinals.
Okay.
Big and strong. He can run you over, and he can make you miss. It's one of those guys. Big, strong guy. I think he's a guy that could fall in the first round and be a guy that some teams aren't as high on. And if you're talking Justin Smiley, you throw Justin Smiley and the second rounder together, move up, pick 23. The Chiefs, who just lost their guard to retirement.
Yep.
They need a guard. They need to move down and get some picks. I think it's a perfect match, and I could definitely see the 49ers moving up to get a guy like if Robert Meacham falls, who I like a lot. I think he's the second best wide receiver in the draft, or Dwayne Bowe, who I think those three wide receivers are head and shoulders above the rest.
Meacham looks awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent college career at Tennessee.
So. And I saw a lot at the combine. He really showed up a lot there. Ooh. And it seems to be a good character guy, too.
Yeah, good character guy, and he really just blew up last year.
Yeah.
You might say he's a one-year wonder, but the Tennessee offense was terrible the years before, and they got their old offensive coordinator back, I think, in Tennessee. And so there's a lot of reasons why it's not just him that he wasn't as productive in his first 2 years. And the thing is, it kind of depends on what kind of wide receiver do you want, you know, that fits your offense. Dwayne Bowe, as I said, kind of Anquan Boldin type. Meacham is more of a Javon Walker type. Then you've got Dwayne Jarrett's kind of a Plaxico Burress. Maybe almost – actually, he's really similar to last year's surprise sleeper rookie of the year, Marcus Colston. Or he wasn't rookie of the year, was he?
Not sure. I think he was.
I think Young got it. But Marcus Colston, he's a similar type player. Long guy. He's quicker than he looks because he's a big guy, and you can't tell how quick those guys are sometimes.
Yeah, and it looks like you got some value picks here in the fourth. A couple guys I know. You'll have to tell me about Jay Alford, but Darius Walker and Joe Newton as well. Value picks late, but what do you know about Alford?
I think Alford's a guy that fits as a defensive end in the 3-4. He played tackle, but he's kind of an undersized, quick tackle, and he's a perfect fit. And I think if the way that the 49ers are building the defense, especially if they go with Willis in the first round, is they're putting the pressure on the linebackers to be the playmakers, and they want to make sure they get just really solid, middle-of-the-road defensive ends that can get after the quarterback on third downs and can definitely stand up against the run on first and second down and just be kind of one-dimensional and not worry so much about them taking control of the game as teams like the Patriots might with their front three.
Yep. Darius Walker, everybody's seen a lot of him at Notre Dame. Really more of a real speed guy. He can definitely make you miss. A little power there. You have him going late fourth, but what do you think of Darius Walker?
I have Darius Walker going there because I think it's the right range for him, and the 49ers probably, with Gore re-signed, want somebody who's just the prototype backup, and I think he just fits that to a T. He can block a little bit. He's a really good receiver out of the backfield, and he can kind of come in and do the third down back thing, and he's just really good across the board, kind of a who's that over in New England? Help me out here. Kevin Falk.
Yeah.
Kevin Falk style, a little right? Do everything.
Yeah, just a perfect backup with a little bit of upside to maybe start some games if you need him to, but he's a perfect backup running back. But I have a little note here, trade to Philly for Ryan Motes. Ryan, I would love to see the 49ers. It would take maybe a fourth or fifth round pick. Ryan Motes was drafted the same round as Frank Gore, and a lot of people actually had him over Frank Gore because a lot of people when Frank Gore was drafted thought he was drafted way too high. And Ryan Motes would be just a dynamite change of pace for Frank Gore. He's quick, you know, that little Barry Sanders style of runner, just a great pure runner. And if it only takes a fifth round pick, I mean, I would definitely do that because I like Ryan Moats a lot. So that's something to look forward to. And supposedly Philadelphia is looking to trade him.
It's interesting. Your draft board here with the Niners definitely focuses a lot on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where your mind is. You want to get Alex Smith as much support as possible. You want to get speed and playmaking on the field because you want to stretch the defense. You want to score some points.
Yeah, you got to pound it, but you got to be able to strike too. And the offense is it took strides, but it's definitely not done. And the defense needs some pieces, but the offense does too. So
yeah,
there's still some holes to fill in San Francisco, despite how well they did in free agency and how well they ended the season on an upswing.
If we have time, we should get back to what you have at the end and what we have for the Patriots. But where we left off was number 12, the Redskins. We have to probably go through these pretty quickly. You have Jamal Anderson going to the Redskins. What do you think of Jamal Anderson?
I think he's a guy that they might even take at six. So, and he should be available at pick 12. And so, I think that's why they would trade back because they can get that extra pick that they lost for guys like Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah,
that were just terrible trades. But
Jamal Anderson
is kind of a do it all end, and I think he's a perfect fit at end. I don't think he works in the 3-4 defense because I don't think he's quite big enough to grow into the defensive end position. Despite his numbers, he doesn't play big at all. He plays like a pass rushing end. He doesn't play like a big, like a 280-pound guy that he is. And he's not quite athletic enough to move out to outside linebacker. And as he grows, he'll be even less likely to play that position. So I like him as a 4-3 defensive end, and I think it's a perfect pick and a perfect need pick for the Redskins there.
And we have the Rams taking Allen Branch. Their defense not where they want it to be, and perhaps they need Allen Branch in there because they didn't do a very good job stopping the run. You can even rush the passer a little bit, but what do you think of Branch in there?
Allen Branch is one of the hardest guys to predict because coming into the when the season ended, I'm thinking this guy's top five talent. He's so big and strong, and you know, like I said before, he's a dancing bear. He's just big and he can just dominate you. But now there's questions about his work ethic. Is he injured? He's up to 345 pounds now. And when I liked him for the 49ers, it was more as an end and maybe move into tackle on third downs or, you know, maybe he grows into the nose tackle position. But at 6'6", 320, I liked him as an end because he can move guys off the ball, Richard Seymour type. But supposedly he's up to 345. He can't quite work out all the time. He's got shin splints and God knows what going on. And so I'm not sure. He could be a guy that could take a huge fall and be really surprising. Or a team could be like, no, we like this guy and take him in the top 10.
Yeah, we look at the Panthers at 14. I have one question about Greg Olsen. Can he block? Because he's going to need to for Carolina.
Panthers only have a couple of needs, and he just kind of fits there. I could really see the Panthers moving around a little bit, maybe dropping back and getting a safety or something. Greg Olsen might get overdrafted just because his postseason was better than his real season.
Yeah.
So, and those are all these guys that you kind of wonder about.
We look at the Steelers, and I think they would love to get Adam Carriker here.
Yeah, if Carriker falls here, he's a great pick, just a need pick, and is a very similar player to Aaron Smith, who they have on the other side, a defensive end. So,
then we have the Packers recently traded Amon Green to the Texans, and then here we go. So then we go to them, and they have you drafting them, local guy?
Yeah, local Cal player Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch is another guy to look out for. He might fall a little bit, and I almost went with Robert Meacham instead. With this pick, he supposedly has a back injury, and you know how people get, and there's a guy that's a last minute injury, they find out he got into some trouble, and they can slide a little bit. But he just fits too. He's needed too much in Green Bay to pass here.
Jags got a safety, Reggie Nelson, one of the first safeties taken after LaRon Landry from Florida. What do you think of him?
Nelson's another guy. Stock went up and down. Apparently he's not too bright and can't even read a playbook, so he might be a guy that. There's some late news on him falling a lot because teams just don't know if he can be the center fielder type and call coverages. And
insert Gator joke from
two weeks ago. Yeah, insert Gator joke. We'll also put that in there. We'll go through the Bengals. Revis.
So we got Darrell Revis.
A little question mark character at all? It better not be because the Bengals don't have the room.
Yeah, I don't think they have to worry about the character thing. He answered all his questions about speed just like Leon Hall did in the postseason running 4-3, so he solidifies his first round.
We already spoke about Meacham. For the Titans. Paul Posluszny for the Giants. I really like that pick, but it may be a bit too high in my books. But I any team would love to have him. He was my final fifth pick. That is a real safe bet.
I'm glad you bring that up about him because this is the point. Scott McClune, player personnel guy for the 49ers, was quoted as saying he has 20 players ranked as first round talents.
Yeah.
So this is where you start to see guys, and you start to see maybe is this guy a reach? Is this guy not a reach? And that's where you're going to start to see teams maybe wanting to trade down. And this is also the place where you see guys like Dwayne Bowe still on the board, Dwayne Jarrett. If Meacham happens to fall a little bit, or Carricker or Branch or one of these guys, that's where the 49ers need to pounce and get up, because these teams are going to be willing to come back, because there may not be much difference between on some teams' boards between a guy at pick 20 and a guy at pick 40 or 50.
You talked about the Broncos being active in the trade market. John Beason from Miami. All I know is the guy hits hard and he has great instincts, it looks like.
Great instincts. Timed a little slow, or he'd have gone a lot higher and been the second linebacker after Willis to go. But, yeah, he's your Jonathan Vilma type. Short, stocky, instinctive Derek Brooks, maybe. Just goes and gets you.
We mentioned Dwayne Bowe. You have him going to the Cowboys at 22. Now, Joe Staley, interesting that you mentioned that, the retirement, and now the Chiefs maybe looking there. I love this guy. I think he can move around, too, if you need him.
He's a guy that teams are talking about might be a real surprise and go even as high as the Texans at pick number 10.
Wow.
Just a late riser. Used to be a tight end. Absurdly athletic. Kind of in the DeBrickashaw-Ferguson mold of last year.
Yeah, and then we move on from there. Patriots, Michael Griffin. Where I heard was Paul Posluszny maybe headed there, but you have him getting a safety. They probably need an heir to the Rodney Harrison throne.
Mm-hmm. And Michael Griffin can go both ways, play a little safety, free safety, a little strong safety, and it's kind of need meets value at that point. He's the no doubt third safety, maybe even second safety on a lot of boards if people question his smarts.
Yeah, back-to-back burnt orange picks as you go with the Jets and Aaron Ross. Mm-hmm. As we've seen a lot from the Texas defense, but yeah, I've seen a lot from Aaron Ross. I don't think he's that high, but you obviously disagree.
Well, yeah, because this is that area again. I mean, it's kind of like beauty's in the eye of the beholder here, whether you're going to be picked at 25 or 45. And Aaron Ross, cornerbacks are just too valuable. And when a guy checks out and he's got the size and speed and he's got the production, he wins out and you have to pull the trigger on him.
Quickly, since we're up against it, we'll just run through the three big names. Maybe we'll put this on our a website or something, and we'll put up some of the stats. But Dwayne Jarrett to the Saints, Ted Ginn to the Chargers. You really think Dwayne Jarrett's going to go that high? Because I've heard things about the second round.
With the Mike Williams comparisons, he's got a little bit of a raw deal, I think, and he didn't time extremely well. But like I said, Marcus Colston is a similar type of player, and you saw how good he did. And I think teams are going to see him, watch him on tape, and he dominated almost every week, no matter who they were playing, and even beat up Leon Hall a little bit, who got picked ahead of him. So I think he's worthy of that pick.
And we talked about Ted Ginn. I had question marks because I know, Ant, you watched him in the Ohio State game, kind of a little – well, previously, you saw Devin Hester return the kick for a touchdown. This guy did the same thing earlier, but he did not play. He did not play the rest of the game. Does that show you anything about his injuries?
Well, unfortunately for him, that's his last college game, so that's the final memory of
bad taste in your mouth.
Very much so. His game is speed. So the question becomes, you know, is that speed legit? Does the injury have long lasting impact? Because he's not a size receiver, and I don't know. I can see him definitely going late first round. And I agree with your comment about McLuhan, only 20 first-round talent guys, which means this next batch of 10 to 12 players could all be here in the first round or significantly lose money and all be in the second round and be some losing team's second draft pick.
Yeah, exactly. And I like what you said about his return ability and comparing him to the Bears kick returner. When you're picking at that, you're picking that low, and wide receiver is definitely a need for them anyways. And you can get a guy that's dynamite and can really turn things around for your team in an instant. I think he's worth that pick, even though from an every down standpoint, he's not a finished product at all at wide receiver.
So that's your first round mock draft. If we have time, we're going to come back. We're going to hit up everybody's sleepers and all those guys, and we'll preview the next sports weekend, as well as maybe more pterodactyl. I don't know. You're going to have to stay tuned to listen on KSFS, the State, San Francisco. This goes out to Owen Brown in Santa Barbara right now. He did not know this Carrie Underwood song that both you and Aunt, you and I both knew about, and he didn't hear the song.
I must commend him for not knowing it.
You must commend him?
Yeah, because...
This is a pretty good song.
I don't know.
Let him cross his girlfriend.
I'm going to have to cut everybody's mic in a second. Here comes the hook. Come on, this is country music, man. These are all these guys are from. Pop country.
I can't use my country joke.
It's probably not for air.
It's right there on that list.
Wow. I think we can all do the math here on that country joke. But yes,
she put the blank in country.
Mm.
Put it that way.
Well, if you're listening, Owen, you come out to your car and your tires are slashed, and you got your girl's name carved in there. Just you could have had a warning if you only kept up with Carrie Underwood.
That's correct.
That's not country.
That's not country. That's pop country. We had some email you mentioned on ksfssports.gmail. If you have a point before that, we'll be happy to get to that. But
that is that's classic Y'alternative.
Y'alternative. Okay. Yeah, but we also have some last email before we wrap up the show.
We had an email from Luis, and he's asking about the 49ers. If they draft a defensive lineman such as Branch or Carricker, should they draft a wide receiver or a linebacker with the second pick? I think that's a Patrick Willis thing, and if not, I think you kind of lay off that because are you really upgrading linebacker at that point? If you're not getting a no-doubt upgrade over Derek Smith and Jeff Ulbrich, then don't bother.
That's Luis, the clinician.
Yeah.
Yes, that's Luis, the clinician right there.
The results, man.
Any last thoughts on the draft, too,
Draft, I think if they do go Russell with the number one pick, I think we're going to have some madness. I think it's going to make the draft a lot more fun to watch, but it might screw the 49ers. I got a scenario that I really do not like, and that's if Russell goes number one, then you got the Lions available for trade. You got the Falcons, who have the best ammo and I think are a little closer than the 49ers, even if everybody wanted Calvin and everyone's wanted to trade up. I think the Falcons are the winner because they move up, they take Calvin, they've got 2 second-round picks and 2 fourth-round picks that they can trade.
Yeah.
So they move up to get him. And then you've got the Lions at pick number 8 who sit there and might take Patrick Willis right into our nose.
Yeah.
And all right, Bay Area fans.
Yeah, we have Bay Area fans here. It's all coming down this weekend. How many games with the Warriors they got?
Warriors got a game tonight, one on Sunday. You got 2 days of NFL draft. You got the Sharks game 2 in Detroit. It is going to be a live Bay Area weekend, plus Giants and A's baseball.
Plus Giants and A's.
Will the winning streak still be alive when we meet next
No,
week?
It will not.
It won't be, but I still say that they are at or in first place.
How many hits does Matt Cain give up in his next start?
65. All right. We got the Badman Hour coming up next.
DJ Shameless.
That is correct. He is in the house. He has arrived. So
I hope you brought your church fan, man.
Yeah, it is 9,000 degrees in here, so beware of that. So we're going to wrap up the show right now. Thanks to Brian for bringing the draft knowledge. Thanks to Ann for just bringing the overall hatred of the state of Florida.
One more thing I got to say. Paul Salai, 344-pound defensive tackle. He could be a good pick for the Cowboys, for my boy Josh over there, Cowboys fan, or a good pick for the 49ers, but looking for a defensive tackle, third or fourth round. But his mama played San Francisco State softball.
Wow. That's the best note to go out on.
He's got the bloodlines.
So thanks to everybody out there for joining us. This has been Sports Outside the Mainstream. I'm Eamon Sweeney. That is Antonio Kruger, and that is Brian Peacock. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week to talk about the draft, the Warriors, and the Sharks. So thanks for being with us. We'll be back here next week on San Francisco State Radio, KSFS.